Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, Out of Their Bondage, was written by Hedda Rosten and is based on an incident of the life of Norbert Mazur. The role of Mazur is played by Peter Capel.
And it came to pass, in the course of those many days, that the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their cry.
All this is remembered in the season of the Passover.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their pains, and I am come to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians.
The echo reaching us down the centuries with the lamentation and the glory of the exodus by which the Jews were delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians, and through years of wandering came to the land of Palestine. All this is remembered on the days of Passover. And the children of Israel many times since have sighed by reason of their bondage, and their cry came up unto God even as the whips of their new taskmasters bled them. There was the Egypt of the years 1933 to 1945. And of the new pharaohs, there was one whose cruelty sprang from the evil of Haman. There was one name so terrible it was whispered throughout the hated land of the Nazis. Heinrich Himmler, the murderer Himmler. Himmler the unspeakable.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me.
And centuries later, out of the new Egypt, there was another exodus. Why do we tell this story? For the Haggadah of Passover enjoins us that in each generation we must retell the story of the bondage as if we ourselves had been redeemed from Egypt. In the spring of 1945, Norbert Mazur, a member of the World Jewish Congress, called at the Swedish Foreign Office.
Come in, Mr. Mazur. Sit down. Good to see you again.
Have you read the papers today?
You mean the war goes badly for the Germans? Yes. The Rhine breakthrough, the Russians at the Elbe. Perhaps it'll be over soon, you think?
Soon. But not soon enough. Each day, thousands more die in the German camps. You know this.
We've done everything we can. The influence of the Swedish Foreign Office...
You've helped very much. We are grateful. Sweden was one of the few nations to reach out its hand. Because of you, many of us are now alive and safe. Yet we must ask your help again.
What more can be done? The German military position is hopeless. They will lose. The world knows it. The Germans know it.
Exactly. Rather than let the camps fall into the hands of the Allies, Himmler may order a wholesale slaughter of all the prisoners. It must not happen.
But how can we?
I ask your permission to send a representative to Heinrich Himmler.
To Himmler?
Yes, to Himmler.
But, my dear friend, it's too fantastic.
Perhaps. Perhaps not. He is ruthless. But like all men of his kind, he is a coward. We must take that chance.
To plead with a man responsible for the death of 6 million Jews? Really, Mr. Mazur?
Remember that the persecuted have a power greater than their persecutor. On their side is truth and humanity and justice. On the side of the persecutor is evil and deceit. And that is his weakness.
Whom would you send? Who would dare to go?
There is a man waiting outside the door. Your office knows him.
Outside? Here? Well, ask him in.
Medical Counselor Gordon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Doctor. So you're the one, eh? What makes you think...
You see, many years ago, I was Himmler's physician. Even the Germans must be doctored, if you please. When Mr. Mazur approached me to arrange a meeting, I agreed to do what I could.
But Himmler, knowing your mission, do you think he would agree to see you?
I have reason to believe it.
So. And how do you plan to proceed, gentlemen?
Dr. Gordon will communicate at once with Himmler and request an interview somewhere in Germany.
I will need the sanction of the Foreign Office, even though I will travel secretly.
You already have done so much for our people, sir. Yet we ask your help again. May we count on you?
Of course. We will try everything. Even this. Begin your negotiations and keep in touch with me. Good luck, gentlemen.
Norbert, the phone.
I'll get it. Hello? Hello? Mazur speaking. Gordon, you just received word? It is agreed? Yes, I understand. Yes, at once. The waiting is over. At last.
It came?
Yes, it came. A letter.
What did he say?
Gordon wouldn't talk. Not over the phone. Don't wait up for me, Anna. I may be late.
I could not sleep, Norbert. Tell me what happened.
Everything turned out just as we planned.
Himmler agreed to meet a representative?
Just so.
I cannot believe...
Here's the letter Himmler sent to Gordon. Listen. My dear Dr. Gordon, I agree that this is a good time to discuss the problem of the Jews in Germany. You will be met at the Tempelhof Airport in Berlin on Friday, April 19th, and driven to the villa of Herr Joseph Gessler. If I may offer a suggestion...
Yes? Why do you hesitate?
Nothing, nothing. It goes on. If I may offer a suggestion... I believe our discussions would be more effective if you were accompanied here by a Jew.
Go on.
I, of course, promise him safe conduct into and out of Germany. Yours, Heinrich Himmler.
Is it a trick?
I don't know.
You're going. You don't have to hide it.
I must go, Anna. You remember. To save even one life.
Is like unto saving the entire world.
Yes. You still remember.
Oh, Norbert, I'm afraid.
I, too.
How soon must you leave?
The plane leaves at noon.
Well, then we must hurry and pack. I'll make it light. After all, you'll be gone... only a few days. Won't you, darling?
Yes, Anna. Only a few days.
Moses. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?
After we reach the airport...
Then what?
We will probably be met by the Gestapo.
And then?
I don't know. Only Himmler and a few henchmen know of our little visit.
Only Himmler.
You are a brave man, Mazur.
Brave? No. I'm an ordinary, humble man. I know fear. And yet my hope... greater than my fears.
A little like Daniel entering the lion's den. What are you thinking of now?
Of my father. Of the time he was teaching me Hebrew. We came across a word. Zahus. He told me it had no single translation, but it meant a privilege, destiny, an honor. All in one word. I was puzzled that a word could have so many meanings. The Hus. That's how I feel about my mission to Himmler.
All right, next.
Name?
Gordon. Dr. Gordon.
Passport?
Here it is.
From Sweden, huh? Hmm. On special business in their eye. All in order. Next. Name, please.
Mazur. Norbert Mazur.
One moment. Gestapo. Allowed him to pass. You would please follow me, gentlemen. This way. Into the car standing there. Chauffeur. The manor house of Joseph Gessler. It's 60 kilometers. Try to get there before the raids start. Pleasant trip, gentlemen. Heil Hitler.
Night had already set in. The moon was bright and a cloudless sky. The car raced through the dark city, the ruins of buildings towering ghost-like, through the suburbs that lay there like dead. It sped on past the rubble piles, the destroyed houses, the burnt fields.
Thus saith the Lord God, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, there will remain not any green thing, either tree or herb of the field, throughout all the land of Egypt.
I am Brigade Leader Schellenberg. It is a pleasure to meet you, Dr. Gordon.
Good day, Mr. Schellenberg.
And this is Herr Mazur.
Schellenberg.
I have the deepest sympathy for your errand here, Mr. Mazur.
Thank you.
And Himmler, have you a message for us?
I have been asked to convey his deep regret that he is unable to be here himself to greet you. He is detained on state business with the Führer.
There's nothing wrong, I hope.
Not at all. He will be here tomorrow morning at 10.
That's strange. We understood...
The leaders of the Reich have more important things than... But you must be tired, gentlemen, after your tedious trip. Your room is ready, and I trust you will sleep well, unless you are disturbed by the raids. They've been most annoying lately. Good night, gentlemen.
This is unusual. Can it be a trick, Mazur?
No, Doctor. He'll be here. I know it in my heart. He will come. Because he is afraid.
That night, Norbert Mazur could not sleep. It was not the constant roar of planes on their way to Berlin that kept him awake. No. For he knew that unto his hand had been given the power of life or death. Life for thousands of his people if he succeeded. Certain death if he failed. He thought he could almost hear the prayers of the prisoners at Ravensbrück, only 30 miles away. And Norbert Mazur turned to God and prayed.
And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod.
And the rod of Norbert Mazur was the justice of his cause. It was the suffering of his people. It was their faith.
It's Himmler. He's coming up the stairs.
Exactly 10 a.m. He looks older. Are you ready, Mazur? Do you know what you will say?
Yes, I think so. Let him speak first.
Guten Tag, gentlemen. Guten Tag. Ah, Doctor. It's good to see you again. It's been many years.
Guten Tag, Herr Himmler.
And this gentleman?
Norbert Mazur.
Ah, yes, yes. Norbert Mazur. I have been very curious to meet you, Mr. Mazur.
The feeling was mutual, Herr Himmler.
Good, good. Then let us not stand on ceremony. Let us be comfortable. Hot coffee will be along soon. I shall take this big chair. It's been a hard day. These are bitter days for Germany. Do you not agree, Mr. Mazur?
I recall that these have been bitter years for many others. Bitter for the Poles, the French, the Jews.
You come right to the problem, eh? Good. You must understand that in our generation, we have known no peace. The Poles, they are an inferior people. The French, they cannot govern themselves. The Jews were an alien element in our midst. I mean no offense to you, Mr. Mazur. After the Nazis came to power, we wanted to solve these questions once and for all. I, of course, favored the humane solution through immigration.
Emigration into concentration camps, Herr Himmler?
Ah, that name. These camps received a bad reputation because of their name. Better to call them educational camps. It was sheer necessity, you understand. Furthermore, something the doctor here can understand, the ignorant masses were infected with contagious disease.
We understand, Herr Himmler. We understand only too well. If you knew these thoughts in my mind as I watch you, you, the mighty Inquisitor. Your words enslaved the continent. Your name glowed as an evil flame. Leader, they called you, who conquered by cruelty and fear, thriving on cruelty. Here in this room, you stand revealed as coward and weakling.
And in order to check these epidemics among the prisoners, we were compelled to burn the corpses. For this reason, we built crematoria, to protect the safety of the remaining persons. A humanitarian act, which had been twisted by outside propaganda.
Explain your crimes, Herr Himmler. Find your reasons. Tell the world your lies. A noose around your neck grows tighter as you talk. Explain away your murder. The million tortured, thrown alive and screaming into the flames. You would burn 1,000 years for your crimes and not repay the living.
I must admit that, well, some unpleasant things have happened. But I have taken steps to punish those responsible.
Now your time has come, Himmler. You are now on trial before the world, before the million dead, and your guilt is deep in your bones. And so you plead your case before me, a Jew, a single man, flesh of their flesh. Why do you not kill me, too? Because you fear me, Norbert Mazur,
I stand before you, spokesman of my people, the anger of their ghosts, the righteousness of their cause. You fear me because you know you cannot destroy truth.
Why are you staring at me, Mr. Mazur?
Nothing. I'm listening, Heimler. Listening. And I further ask that my people still in Germany shall remain alive. I request that those who are in camps near Switzerland or Sweden be released for evacuation to either of these countries, including the 7,000 women from Ravensbrück concentration camp. Also,
there is more,
that in other camps, the prisoners be allowed to remain where they are, that they be treated well in regard to food, medical care, and that the camps...
Still more! Did you come here to tell the Third Reich how to handle its...
That the camps be yielded to the Allies without a fight, when and if the front draws near.
We cannot guarantee. In the middle of a war,
it is impossible... We feel that our demands are more than reasonable, Herr Himmler.
Come, come, Mr. Mazur. It's a strong request. Very strong.
My duty insists that I make them, Herr Himmler.
We have lost the war, yes. But history has its cycles. And who knows, but someday the spirit of the Third Reich will be born again. We will win the next time, gentlemen. Yes, your demands will be met. We will begin to release the prisoners at once. And now your car is waiting to take you to the airport.
As they boarded the plane, the warning of sirens screamed through the darkness over the city. Retribution had come, by day and by night. The Allied planes from east and west striking at this city. And out on the streets and roads poured the wagons loaded with household goods, the loot of all Europe. And the frightened people, once merciless, now begging for mercy.
Below us, how the city burns with its madness and false gods. Evil destroys itself.
Today you should feel happy.
I'm happy for the handful we helped save from this Gehenna. Yet inside I weep for my people. For all the slaughtered and burned and tortured. Who can ever forget them, Dr. Gordon? Can the world ever forget those millions? Each one, a man, a life, gone forever.
And we must remember, not only were these pitiful few redeemed, but you and I were redeemed. Therefore, the Haggadah enjoins us forever after that in each generation, we must retell the story of the bondage as if we ourselves had been redeemed from Egypt. If you would like a free copy of the script you have just heard, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present Dr. Paul Reich, Rabbi of Congregation Bethel, Norfolk, Virginia. Speaking from Norfolk, Dr. Reich.
As the plane carrying the emissaries of mercy winged its way over the desolation of Germany, Norbert Mazur envisaged the triumph of justice over iniquity. The hand of God had not waxed short. True indeed, the 6 million dead could not be restored to life, but there was comfort in the knowledge that others would not meet a similar fate. We live too close to the events of the modern Egypt to properly evaluate their great moral significance. But this fact is most evident. The only obstacle to the complete and utter annihilation of the 9 million Jews caught in the Nazi octopus was the destruction of German military might. Had the Allies been delayed in victory for another year, all would have perished. We are reminded of the words of the Passover Haggadah. If the Holy One, blessed be He, had not brought forth our fathers out of Egypt, then we, our children and our children's children, might still be enslaved to a Pharaoh in Egypt. During the 8 days of Passover, Jewry thanks God for the redemption from Egyptian slavery and from every slavery imposed on Israel, from Pharaoh to Heinrich Himmler. But how much greater would our joy be if Israel's liberation and the liberation of all persecuted peoples could be achieved through a peaceful organization of mankind into a world society founded on justice and brotherly love, in which every man would be able to sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and there would be none to make him afraid. We pray that the leaven of evil and of malice be removed from the hearts of men as we go forward to greet the springtime of human freedom.
Thank you, Dr. Reich. Our Eternal Light story today, adapted for radio by Hedda Rosten, was entitled Out of Their Bondage and was based on an incident in the life of Norbert Mazur. Peter Capell was featured in the role of Norbert Mazur. The music is composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Milton Catens. The liturgical introduction was sung by cantor Robert H. Siegel. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. For a free copy of today's script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.